Well, friends, we're continuing a series of messages on the different names of God, names that all begin with E-L-L, and today we're looking at Genesis chapter 21, Genesis chapter 21, if you would turn there. Genesis 21, and we're looking at the verses 22 through 34, 22 through 34. We read these words. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do. Now, swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you now reside as a foreigner the same kindness I have shown to you." Abraham said, "I swear it." Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, "I don't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today." So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs you have set apart by themselves?" He replied, "Accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well." So that place was called Beersheba because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, people meet their birthdays in all sorts of ways. When we are young, kids, I remember, I couldn't wait. And when my kids were young, they couldn't wait either. Grandkids too. Birthday cake, party, ice cream, presents. A year older. A year closer to 2 digits when you could triumphantly shout, "I'm 10. And then the birthday, you became a teenager. And then 16, you can drive on your own. And 18, end of high school. And 21, an adult at last. For most of those milestones, kids can hardly wait. But then adults. Every year, we get a little less eager to wake up a year older. The journey to 30, the trek to 40, and suddenly your eyes don't see as well things up close. Your ears don't hear as well things far away. And your taste has changed for birthday anticipation. Let's not talk about it. I'm 39 and holding. Problem is, every adult will say it. The years, decades, 50s, 60s, 70s, clip by faster and faster and faster until you are old. You're an oldster, which I think is a nicer term than old, elderly, aged, those in the golden years. Yeah, we love our euphemisms. I hope some of you caught that. No defined age here when that begins. I'm not crazy, nor am I looking for any type of verbal spat with any of you after church. But at some point, each successive Earth orbit around the sun miraculously turns each birthday into a badge of honor. We still may not want to share our pertinent numeric information with anyone but our closest confidants, but in our heart of hearts, there is a certain pride, a certain satisfaction, or at the very least, a feeling of accomplishment as each birthday anniversary is hit, and especially as each milestone birthday zooms past 80, 90, 95, a century. Wow! We approach our birthdays each year in all sorts of ways. Birthdays can fill us with joy. Birthdays can also fill us with sorrow. Perhaps we face a birthday without a loved one, their birthday. And that birthday is a starting point for a year or two or three or more, when every special day or holiday in those years is a reminder that the one born on that day is not here for that day. Yes, we approach birthdays each year in all sorts of ways, ways that are ever changing as the years go by and our circumstances change. But listen, for followers of Christ, birthdays mark for us that we are 1 year closer to eternity. And I think that's a good way to think about our birthdays. We are 1 year closer to eternity. Three parts to our message now. Kids, adults, oldsters. There's that made up word again. First, kids. Kids. Abraham, in our story, is probably about 105 or so years old right now. Can you believe that, kids? He lived to be 175 years old, one of the last few really old guys in the Bible that we read about. Who is the oldest guy, kids? Who's the oldest guy we read about in the Bible? Anyone know? Kids? Methuselah. Was that a kid who said that? Kids. How old did Methuselah live, kids? Anyone? Kids? 969 years old. Yes, 969 years old. But now, God said he would do this. He brought life expectancy. He brought it down considerably. Abraham dies when he is 175. Abraham's son Isaac, 180. And we go down from there. Grandson Jacob, 147. And after a while, the number of years don't even get recorded anymore. They're just no big deal anymore. Perhaps this story in Genesis 21 has something to do with that. Because, kids, this is the story when Abraham gives a special name to God. We read that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree which can live hundreds of years. It grows very slowly and produces sweet stuff you can eat. In fact, some call it the manna tree, nicknaming it after the manna that God provided for Israel centuries later. It produces a little sweet paste that can be used in cooking. It's an evergreen type of tree, doesn't lose its leaves, and after many, many years, it finally grows tall enough to offer shade for people, especially people in the desert on a really hot day who might be on a journey. And that's where Abraham is right now, in the desert in Beersheba. And our passage tells us, God tells us, that after planting that tree, Abraham called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God, El Olam. In Hebrew. Kids, can you repeat that for me? I'll say it, then you say it after me. Kids, El Olam. Say it one more time. El Olam. Yeah, the eternal God. God eternal. Olam, that Hebrew word that we translate eternal, means everlasting and forever and perpetual. You can think of it like this. Olam means as far into the future as you can imagine, and even beyond that. And it also means as long ago into the past as you can imagine, and even beyond that. And Abraham says that this word describes God, his God, the God who told him to leave places and go to new places, the God who told him that he and his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan, the promised land, the God who made promises to him, and he faithfully kept those promises, like God promised Abraham and Sarah a son to be named Isaac. And earlier in this chapter, that promise was kept by God. Isaac was finally born. So Abraham describes God as the God who has been from as long ago in the past as anyone can imagine and will continue to be God for as far as into the future as anyone can imagine. The psalm writer says it like this, kids, in Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you, God, brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From olam to olam, everlasting eternal past to everlasting eternal future, you are God. Now, kids, you hear that we have a God like that, who is el olam to el olam, eternal God, as much as we can't wait until we are 10 or 13 or 18 or 16 or 21, and we think it's kind of a big deal compared to God who is from eternity past to eternity future, it's not really that big of a deal at all, is it? Maybe that's why, after these last few really old guys who lived, we don't hear much more about how long people live in the Bible anymore. Doesn't seem all that important when you have a God who is eternal, who is everlasting to everlasting, El Olam to El Olam. So, what can we say to you kids, and ones who are a little older, young people, we call you, right? Well, you've heard it before. I'm sure you have. Depending how old you are. If you've hit your teenage years, you've heard it. Teenagers, young people, they think they are invincible. They think that they will live forever. They don't think about how fragile human life is. Well, we get that warning, that caution from the Bible, from thinking about us compared to God. Like in Psalm 90. We read, for 1,000 years in your sight, Lord God, are like a day that has just gone by. In other words, when you're eternal like God, time for you runs a little bit differently. 1,000 years going by for us, 1,000 years is like a day going by for him. That's how eternal God is. And then the psalm goes on. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. And we know some people live a bit longer than that, don't they? Another 10, 20, 30 even years past 80. It can happen. But what does the Bible say next in that psalm? Those years quickly pass and we are gone. We die. Right, kids? And the psalm writer, who ultimately is God, wants us to realize just how short a time we have on this earth. Really short. And so he says next, teach us to number our days. In the other Bible we have, the colorful one that's in the pews, it's translated like this. God, teach us to realize how short our lives are. That's a hard thing to grab hold of when we are young. It feels like when you're young, like you have so much of your life yet to live. But the Bible wants you already when you're little or young to begin to understand that that time for your lives goes by so fast and even sometimes can be shortened because sometimes really hard things happen to even kids and their lives might be much shorter than they thought. And so, kids, what you need to remember is that every day of your life, whether it's long or short, every day matters. Every day. God wants us to be like him. Wants us to love others, be kind to others, treat others with respect. Use each day that God gives you to live for him. Every day matters that way. That's one thing you need to remember here. A second thing is that eternity matters too. In other words, God matters. That you have God in your life, that matters. He is the eternal God, and when he says, teach us to number our days, when he says that to young people, do you know what he is saying? He is saying, I, the eternal God, matter. He is saying, I, the eternal God, want you to know me, to love me, to live with me forever. And he says, I've made a way for that to happen for you. Think of how incredible that is, kids. God has made a way that no matter how short our lives are, compared to his, extremely short, but also when our lives may not go on as long as we think they will, he says, make sure you know me, believe in me, love me, because I've made a way for us to be together into the future forever. Forever. Olam. Kids, do you know how he did that? I think you do. He gave us Jesus, his own son, who died on the cross to bring forgiveness for our sins. And then he rose from the grave so that we can get in on that forever and ever, everlasting eternal life. That's how God made it possible for us to be with him forever. Do you believe that? Do you believe, kids, in Jesus and what he did for you? All of us adults and oldsters, we pray a lot that you will believe in Jesus. We want that for you. Thanks for listening, kids. I hope you keep listening. Adults, we're up to you. Let's get back to Abraham in Beersheba about to plant the tamarisk tree. This story, it seems so out of place, doesn't it? A little piece of historical information included that, well, it's interesting. We already know a little bit about that tamarisk tree. It's a slow grower. It secretes sweet stuff that's okay to eat. Some call it the manna tree. It grows about an inch a year, so it takes about 400 years to reach full height, somewhere in the 30-foot range, 30-plus feet range. It lives a long time. Great tree choice to celebrate the God who is eternal. An evergreen tree to celebrate an everlasting God. A tree that would eventually give shade for desert wanderers, travelers. A tree planted in a place that became known as the southernmost border of the promised land. 12 tribes of Israel were granted their pieces of land in the promised land. We hear those words like a chorus in scripture. From Dan to Beersheba. From Dan to Beersheba. Way up north to way down south. This way, this one was way down south, desert area here, Beersheba. And here it was that a Philistine king, Abimelech, recognizes that Abraham's God has definitely been with Abraham. In other words, God has blessed Abraham richly with lots of stuff, as we talked about last time. So Abimelech wants to make a treaty with Abraham. He doesn't want any trouble with Abraham someday. And Abraham is amenable to this agreement, this arrangement. Isn't it interesting? Part of God's blessing to Abraham, remember, think back, was that Abraham would be blessed by God so that all the nations of the earth might be blessed through him. Here we have a little acting out of that blessing. Abraham agrees, I'll show you kindness, just like you've showed me kindness, Abimelech. Then Abraham speaks up. Look, there's a situation with this well, Abimelech. And Abimelech says, I don't know anything about that well, first I've ever heard of it. So Abraham makes some preparation, gives Abimelech 7 lambs as a witness. Can I get a witness? Did you know that? Lambs give the witness. Hey, this is now my well, that's what they say. It's not your well anymore. Abimelech agrees, takes the lambs, heads back home to the land of the Philistines about 10 miles away. Abraham plants his city, Gerar. Abraham plants the tamarisk tree, calls on the name of the Lord, the eternal God, Olam. Perfect choice of tree when you're talking about things that last. Perfect symbol for God's promises, his covenant, his faithfulness, his very nature, eternal. Perfect tree, a tamarisk tree. And then Abraham stays nearby in the land of the Philistines himself. What a strange thing to record here. Everything about it is fitting, of course. Well, it's fitting, but the type of tree, the need for shade, they're in the desert. Abraham's celebrating God and his eternal covenant, everlasting covenant promises. They have a son, Isaac, just like God said, to praise God, I'm going to plant one of these evergreen type trees, a fitting way to celebrate and praise the eternal God, the name he's calling upon here, the eternal God. Praise him. But friends, isn't it something else too? Abraham knows for sure that when it comes to God, Abraham can look far into the future and know that even far into the future, God will continue to keep his promises. Abraham has his far-sighted glasses on. See, this tree isn't going to give shade for Abraham. Abraham knows that. But if he truly is the eternal God who always keeps his promises forever, then there is a nation, there is a vast people who will come from Abraham and Sarah. And if God keeps his promise, his covenant, which Abraham has no longer any doubt that he will, I mean, he has a son now at the ripe old age of 100. There is no doubt that everything else God promised, that too will be fulfilled. And the land of Canaan, of which this tamarisk tree is a part, this will be inhabited by Abraham's many descendants. Think of it. Abraham didn't plant the tree for himself. He planted it to celebrate God, and he planted it for the next generation and the next and the next. And one day, the people of Israel, 400 years later, his descendants will benefit from its shade as they settle in the promised land at the southernmost border. Abraham would never enjoy shade from this tree, but the next generations would. Abraham was concerned for them, thinking ahead to them. That's a lesson for the adults here who know El Olam, the eternal God. It's our job, every adult, every parent, grandparent, teacher, leader, counselor, it's our job to be looking ahead as we plant our tamarisk trees for the next generation all over the place, as we plant what we believe about God, about Jesus Christ, into the lives of the next generations, as we help instruct them in the faith. We have a forever promise-keeping God who everlastingly keeps his covenant with us, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we plant our tamarisk trees into the lives of our children, the next generation, who will benefit from knowing, believing in, trusting in, walking by faith with the eternal God who so loved us that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what kind of life? Eternal life. We've got tamarisk trees to plant, adults. Finally, the oldsters. Sorry to keep saying it, because you're all in the adult section too. I've talked to some of you. The older you get, you know how it works. We call it, especially near the end, declining. She's declining, we say. But that just happens to all of us. Can't hear as well. Can't see nearly as well. Sore knee. Don't know what from. Root canal last week. Ugh. Declining. Getting tired sooner. Getting weaker, feebler. Getting, well, older. But do you know where else this combination of words is found? El and Olam, God and eternal. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. There it is. Isaiah 40 continues. He's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Listen, listen. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. So much for decline. You see, it's when we are in decline, as we so carefully put it, that we are pushed closer, pressed toward God, as we recognize our own increasing limitations and are brought to admit our own dire need, the illusion of our own physical immortality long ago shattered, we clearly see our own fragility And yet, the eternal God says, have I got strength for you? You're going to walk, run, soar. Because you've never forgotten that you are dealing with the everlasting God. And his strength, his power sustains you through to the day you have only strength left to take one breath. One last breath. And at that breath, you will be with Jesus. Face to face. Your decline, such as it is, simply draws you closer to me, says the eternal God, says El Olam, because El Olam is for you the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is the Alpha and the Omega. When you know him, when you love him, his forever promise is that you will always be with him. This is true. Because Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. And at your last breath, you will see him instantly, face to face, and forevermore. Beloved in Christ, kids, adults, oldsters, I think that's a really good way to think about our birthdays. For followers of Christ, birthdays mark for us that we are 1 year closer to eternity, where we will be face to face with Jesus. Believe that good news. Tell that good news. You're secure in that good news. Because El Olam is your God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you are El Olam, that you are eternal. And sometimes it makes our heads spin what that means, that you had no beginning and no end. But we sure like the sound of one day waking up, breathing our last breath, and seeing Jesus face to face and forevermore. We sure like the sound of that, and there's only one way. There's only one way that is remotely possible. It is because you've put faith in our hearts to believe it. And so it's not for us remotely possible. It is for sure. We praise you for that. Help us to plant tamarisk trees all over the place so that we tell others about that, tell our kids and tell others. And help us, remind us daily when we're tired, when we're old, that you are simply drawing us ever more closely to you, the eternal God, El Olam. And you made it all possible by giving us Jesus, your own Son. We praise you. In his name, amen.